Hello, Mrs. Dewhurst here. So this is pitched for my fabulous Year 11 class. But if you are just listening from elsewhere, that's absolutely great. Hope this is just useful to you. If you've not already listened to my creation podcast, just give that a listen. Even if you're going out, having a little bit of a walk, earphones in, etc. But if you're anything like me, I know making sure that I'm mixing my revision up and varying the ways in which I do it really helps. So reading, notes, listening. Right then, I'll kick off. So this is a summary of incarnation. Now I know, obviously in my class, we did this last lesson. So we're just going to sort of be going over some of those key points really. Going over some common misconceptions and, and just hopefully leaving you in a place where you think, yeah, I could do that. That's okay. But I will say at this stage, if there's anything thinking, I'm really struggling, I find that hard, don't panic. This is a mock. It's your second mock. It's a mock for a reason. The idea is that this will hopefully help you pinpoint which areas you just really need to focus on. So I don't want you to panic. I just want you to just get the best out of this, but put the work in at the same time. Right then, so 2.1. Oh, and also on Show My Homework, make sure if after this I have attached the booklet that we used in lesson the other day and also an incarnation sort of information sheet as well. So do use those. Right, so 2.1, incarnation. So think about it. As we were saying in class the other day, you have to know what the meaning is of all key terms. They are the hook to everything. That's why I've included that quiz for you as well, so you can have a go at that. So incarnation, say the definition to yourself out loud now, or in your head, wherever. Yeah, incarnation is when God took on the human condition to become Jesus. Okay, so we know in Luke's Gospel that we have the story of the Annunciation. Okay, this is when Angel Gabriel asked Mary to accept the role of the mother of the Son of God. Whereas in Matthew, we see that the Angel Gabriel visits Joseph. So you need to know the differences between these two, but also how they're similar. So Luke focuses on Mary, tells the story when the Angel Gabriel visited Mary. This is important because obviously we see how God is giving Mary the choice of whether or not to be Jesus' mother, and Mary gives a consent, so a source of authority, let it be with me according to your word. So Gabriel's message for all believers, as though Jesus' birth, God is fulfilling his promises to the Jews, and Jesus is fully human and fully God. Okay. Matthew, Joseph, it's focusing on, telling the story of how Joseph planned to break up with Mary. Angel visited Joseph in one of his dreams and told him it was right to marry Mary because her child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the angel confirms that Jesus has been sent to earth by God to save humanity from sin. So the angel in here also calls Jesus by the name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Okay, so similarity is Mary was a virgin. God worked through human beings to bring about his plan for humanity. Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was the Son of God. And the angel Gabriel announced Jesus' birth. Now, the word of God, if you got that question, what's it mean? What would you say? Have a think. So the word of God is another name for the Son of God, who is both fully God and a separate person of the Trinity. So John, the key source of authority here, John chapter 1, verse 14, tells how the word of God became human in the form of Jesus. And the word became flesh and lived among us, showing that the word has always existed. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth, showing us that the Word came to earth to guide people closer to God and to teach them how to share in his love. That's the whole point of the Incarnation. It's the way in which humans could access God in that way, through the Word being able to guide, let us know, teach us and share in his love. And the word grace there, that word grace cropping up in a few different topics, but meaning free gift, God's free gift, his unconditional love to us. Okay, so if you've got a question about Jesus is both fully human and fully God. Think about what it was said in Latin the other day. What's the difference? What two titles would come to mind? Yep, so you got Jesus, Son of Man, fully human, lived a complete human life with human experiences and emotions. Okay, he suffered. Sometimes he used the title Son of Man to talk about himself, remember? And Jesus used this phrase when he talked about the suffering we'd have to endure during his crucifixion. Son of God, on the other hand, shows Jesus' divinity. Okay, very much about Jesus' holiness. And at his trial, if you remember, before the Jewish council, Jesus confirmed he was the Son of God, indicating that he shared in God's divine nature and power. Okay, so that's a really important source of authority and link there if you do get asked a question about the Son of God. Okay, Mark 14, verse 61, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? He didn't bolt, he didn't run out, he didn't deny he was. He said, I am, acknowledging he was the Son of God. And then if you remember, verse 62, Mark 14, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power. So what he's doing here, using the title Son of Man to emphasise his humanity, but then he's also saying he had a share in God's power, emphasising his divinity. Okay, so God is eternal, no beginning, no end. So that means that Jesus could not become God after his death. So the resurrection proves that Jesus always was God. But during his life on earth, he limited himself to the human condition. Okay. Right, Christian symbols. You got 30 seconds in your head. Okay, imagine, get a question. Explain two Christian symbols and their importance. What would you identify as Christian symbols? Have a think. Then go one step further and think about what the significance is, why they're important. Not just think about what they're called. Okay, so did you get Ichthys, Alpha and Omega, Chiro? These are the three important key Christian symbols. Okay, remember a symbol is something that represents something. It's a way of expressing deep religious beliefs. So, in a nutshell, Ichthys, if you remember the fish, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Saviour. Okay, that's what it means. Alpha and Omega, God and Jesus are involved in everything from beginning to end. Chiro, reminder of the death of Jesus. Right, moving on to art and how the incarnation affects Catholic attitudes towards religious art, statues, and also looking at the contrasting, remember the word different, views on art. Okay, so in terms of reasons towards religious art in the Catholic Church. Remember in the Second Vatican Council, the Catholic Church said that there is a place for art. It helps bring us closer to. Just like I think in the Triune God, we looked at about music, and how, you know, the Second Vatican Council acknowledged that actually music helps us become close to God. So Catholic Church approves. It inspires people. It gives people something to focus on as they pray. It helps people to learn about aspects of God's work. And it has a positive role in religious life. Okay? So if you remember that Jesus was fully human, therefore, of course it's acceptable to show Jesus in a human form because he was human. Even though we don't know what he looked like, the Bible teaches that he was a man with human qualities. Therefore, any work of art that captures these qualities has value, so it's okay. Another reason that Jesus was fully God. Therefore, this makes it acceptable to show God in a human form, because God revealed himself on earth in the form of a human. So it's fine to depict, to show him in that way. And then lastly, Jesus died to save all of humanity. So because of this, it means Jesus can be shown as any member of ethnicity, because all people in the world were affected by his death and resurrection. If we're looking at the contrasting views, remember contrasting means different, not severally opposite, okay? So this would be useful for a 4 or 5 marker, and you can even use it in your evaluation. So reasons against religious art. 1, it isn't possible to portray God accurately, okay? An infinite God cannot be accurately represented using finite, limited human means. Art can also mislead people about what God is like, because art cannot portray God accurately. It can give people wrong ideas about what God is like. praying in front of an image or a statue may mislead people. So when people pray in front of an image or statue, others may get the impression that the image or statue is being worshipped as a god. It is against the second commandment. So following on from the last point about worshipping as a god, some people such as Jews and some Christians, so including Baptists and Methodists, believe the second commandment forbids people to make statues or paintings of God. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Okay. Right, so if you've got a question about statues of Jesus and interpreting of, Sacred Heart is your key one, really. So Sacred Heart, you know, this is the statue of Jesus that you remember. It's got his he's pointing to his burning heart that represents his total self-giving love for all. It usually includes some or all of the following features. Okay, if you do have a laptop by you or your phone, just tap onto it now if you can while I'm talking through Sacred Heart, just so you can visualize it as I'm talking through. So go into your phone, Sacred Heart, and it should come up. Right, so you'll see there on the image, if you've not got it, just visualize it. Jesus got an expression of peace and love. Flames are coming from the heart, which represent the burning love that Jesus has for all people. A hole or piercing through the heart to represent one of the soldiers piercing Jesus' side with a spear after he died. You can see in his hand, hopefully be able to see, holes in the hands from where Jesus nails to the cross. One of Jesus' hands is pointing to his heart to draw attention to it. And he's got the crown of thorns. And that's representing the crown that was placed on Jesus' head when he was mocked by soldiers at his crucifixion. So, in summary, Sacred Heart statue is a reminder of the total love that Jesus has for all. Okay? All right. So, moral teachings of Jesus. Now, we went through this very briefly. I gave my own little sermon to you all. I hope you were listening. So, let's see how much you remember. Because a lot of you put your hand up and acknowledged that this was something you couldn't... You were a little bit... woolly, lacking a bit of confidence in. Right. So, the Sermon on the Mount, remember that this is Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus spoke to the early Christians. He gave them a sermon, he gave them a talk on how he wanted them to live, to give them a new and deeper understanding of the law and become close to God in that way. So, in terms of your source of authority, key, you've got the Beatitudes. Remember what they are? Attitudes, how to be. So your Beatitudes, in terms of that set of laws, 8 of them. Okay, and these are a series of statements in which Jesus blessed certain attitudes or approaches to living. So blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the merciful, those who forgive, for they shall receive mercy. Okay, so this is all about the Sermon on the Mount, remember, and the Beatitudes, teaching his followers how to live a life dedicated to pleasing God. Yeah? Okay. One thing about the Beatitudes, in the Old Testament, the law mainly focused on the actions people should or shouldn't do. So Jesus here is teaching us that it's more important to focus on people's attitudes, because if you've got the right attitude, you'll do the right thing. Okay, so for example, Jesus taught that instead of just avoiding murder, you should have a loving attitude and should avoid getting angry with others. Okay, power of the sheep and the goats. Ultimately, okay, this is that story with a message. Jesus telling his followers that in serving and caring for other people, they're serving God, showing Christians how they should respond to those in need. So Jesus teaches that caring for people in need is extremely important by showing love and kindness. But I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. So this is all about, as well, judgment, that you will be judged well. If you've lived a righteous life, you've, in essence, been a sheep in your behaviours, because in serving others, you've served God. That will lead you to eternal life in heaven. Right, Saint Irenaeus. What do you remember about him? Have a think. How does this link in with incarnation? What is Saint Irenaeus teaching us here? So, Irenaeus, the theologian, St. Irenaeus, showed how the incarnation was important for bringing God and humans close to each other. St. Irenaeus said that Jesus as a human being who is fully alive is the glory of God. And by following his examples, Christians can also show that life in man is the glory of God. Okay? Now, St. Irenaeus wrote in his writings Adversus Heresies, Against Heresies, showed how Jesus, as someone who is fully God and fully human, is the meat. This is really, 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 really important. Remember this. Jesus is the meeting point between God and humanity. So, point one, God is invisible. He's beyond human sight and understanding. Leads to point two. But Christians, great news, can get to know what God is like through Jesus. Point three, because Jesus is Son of God, he displays qualities of God. Lastly, this leads to Christians then developing a better understanding of God's nature through examining the life and actions of Jesus. So that is really, really important, okay? So St. Irenaeus wrote that life in man is the glory of God, okay? So it's all about Jesus being the perfect human being. He always followed God's wishes and perfectly displayed all the qualities that God wanted people to have. So Jesus is fully alive, okay? Set an example for other Christians to follow. So one of the reasons the incarnation is important, because Jesus helps humans to come to know God. This has allowed humans to become more fully alive and reveal God's glory. Right then, 2.10, different understandings of the incarnation. You've got two here, De Verbum 4 and Verbum Domini 12. So, De Verbum 4. For he sent his son so he may dwell among him and tell them of the innermost being of God. God is revealed and speaks through Jesus. This is possible because Jesus, Son of God, he brings salvation to all people. So De Verbum 4, one of the two documents from the Catholic Church that aim to create the right balance of understanding between Jesus as fully God and fully human. That's what the key crux of these documents are. Okay. So Verbum Domini 12, the word or son of God limited in himself to a human form so humans could understand God. Now we see that through the eternal word became small enough to fit into a manger. He became a child so that his word could be grasped by us all. Okay. Grace, sacramental nature of reality. Remember that the sacrament is a sign of God's grace. Okay, so sacramental nature of reality. Have a think. I think this is quite a tricky one to get your head around. So have a think if you can remember what that means. So we know that grace is all about unconditional love. It's the love that unites the three persons Trinity, pours out from the Trinity, helps people to become aware of what God wants for them, gives believers the strength to do what God wants. That's why grace is important. We have this. It gives us the strength and it helps us pour into people's hearts and minds. And all those things. So this concept of the sacramental nature of reality, okay, is about how the whole of reality can be seen as a sacrament. So the world and everything in it is a sign of God's love. God's presence and love can be seen throughout the world. And the incarnation played an important role in helping Catholics to view reality as sacramental. You look at the sky, you look outside your window now, hopefully, apart from cars or whatever your view is, you can see some aspect of creation, all right? Just look up and see what you can see. Over here in Altrincham, it's a little bit of a dull day, but from I can see my garden now, and it just reminds us of that, the whole of reality, okay, is a sacrament. It's a sign of God's love. It's here for us, okay? Right, seven sacraments. So, remember that a sacrament is a sign of what? Think about what the answer is. What is it? A sign of grace, God's love. Okay? Outward sign of inward grace. The seven, can you think of them in your head now? You've got 30 seconds. Okay, let's see how many you got. Baptism. When a person becomes a child of God. Confirmation. The person's faith is a person chooses to confirm a member of the church. Eucharist, when a person receives a consecrated bread and wine. Marriage, when the couple accept through their love for one another, the love of God is active in their lives. Ordination, when a person becomes a priest, bishop, or deacon. Reconciliation, when a person confesses their sins to a priest. Sacrament of the sick, when a person who's very ill is anointed with oil. Okay? Right, last one is Imago Dei and abortion. So do you remember, if you've not listened to the creation podcast, okay, but try and remember back to creation. And all about one of the themes in the creation stories is the sanctity of life, okay, and how our life is sacred, holy, belongs to God. Now, Imago Dei, we're all created in the image of God. So this follows on from that idea that because all life is holy, it should be protected, okay? Therefore, we're against abortion. The Catholic view is that we shouldn't support abortion. We should not be for abortion because it's a termination of an unborn life, okay? God gave, God gives a gift of life. And it isn't up to us to decide, because life begins at conception. The point the male sperm fertilises the female egg. Okay, and we can see that in Luke 1:39-45. For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. So that's obviously linking back to just after the Annunciation, when Mary, now pregnant, she's filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we need, the Catholic view is that we need to protect the unborn, okay, and, you know, by supporting pro-life organisation or an organisation that cares for women who've decided not to abort but are facing emotional and financial difficulties. And there we have it. Right, that was almost 22 minutes summary of incarnation. So I hope that was useful. So have a little bit of a rest. Then maybe have a little bit to think, which aspects do you think you need to go over? Like, look at your revision booklet. If you have got your own copy of the revision guide, look at that. But well done. You've just done another 22 minutes of revision. Okay? Fabulous. Right, have a good day. See you later.